But you might be thinking, what on earth is this rocket here for? I'm going to share with you what Phil God wants to lay on our heart for you guys here this morning. So it was about 4 years ago, and it was a warm October morning in a desert in Texas. Four adults stepped out of the truck and looked up to see this 60-foot rocket towering above them. None of them were astronauts, although they'd had a bit of training. One of them was a 90-year-old man called William Shatner. Ah, see, some of you going, huh? And some of you going, who on earth was that? Those of you who are older will remember him as the legendary Captain Kirk from Star Trek in the 1960s. Now, can you imagine playing a space captain on television and then years later actually being launched into space at the age of 90? Pretty incredible, actually pretty crazy, I would say. So to get into the rocket, you actually had to climb 11 flights of stairs. Now, I think that's pretty impressive at the age of 90. And at the top, about 60 feet up, they kind of walked into this room with thick cement walls. And William asked them, well, what's this room for? And then the engineer casually replies, oh, you guys rush in here if the rocket explodes. Now, the guy's 90, I'm sure if actually he could rush in there in time. But they get strapped into the rocket, seat belts on, and then they wait and wait and wait. And eventually they realise there's a delay because there's a problem in the engine. That sounds a little bit worrying, doesn't it? But it's a small fault, they sort it out. The countdown begins. Noise, fire, excitement, anxiety, apprehension. And they blast off. William sees the Earth disappearing below him as he gets crushed by the forces of the rocket. Arms can barely move, face being melted downwards. Then suddenly relief, silence, weightlessness. They're in space. William looks down and can see where the rocket has punched a hole in the atmosphere. And he looks out over the Earth. He sees the curvature, sees the beige of the desert, the white of the clouds, the thin blue line of the atmosphere. All of what he knows is now beneath him. And then, of course, he looks over to the dark darkness, deep darkness of space. And overwhelming emotions pour out of him. Grief over the preciousness of the planet. Humility over the beauty of it. And when he lands, this 90-year-old man, who'd seen most of what life has to offer, he breaks down into tears. Not from fear, but from perspective. He said afterwards, everything I thought was wrong. Everything I had expected to see was wrong. See, going into space changed his perspective. He'd gone higher up than he'd ever seen before. He'd seen the whole world, and his whole worldview had been changed by it. What he'd experienced is something that is called the overview effect. And it's a well-known effect that is often happens when astronauts go into space. Because what they experience is profoundly humbling. And it often results in a huge, unexpected shift in their worldview. And also the direction they want to take their life in. Many of them who have gone into space then leave that job and want to improve the environment, or they begin to explore spirituality. Now, these are scientists. They have logic, reason, space flights. They're engineers. They're incredibly clever. But they begin to then switch their life purpose, have a perspective on humanity, on politics, philosophy. Some of you might have heard of a very intelligent guy as well called Professor Brian Cox. He's the guy on the BBC who presents lots of the BBC stuff. And he said this. He said he wanted to make it compulsory for anyone who wants to run a country to be sent into space. Not to get rid of them, but give a better perspective about the world. Maybe that's send Nigel Farage or Donald Trump on a rocket. Maybe you'd be thinking right now, there's some people that I'd love to send on the rocket right now. You know, we have a vision for our lives, don't we? And it can be easily shaped by what is around us. And I want to ask us this question this morning. What is the vision for your life? How do you know that you have the right perspective? Don't know about you, but it's easy to get tunnel vision for only what I'm called to do. Only what I see right in front of me. And sometimes I can forget the bigger picture. And often with a limited vision comes a very limited life. See, if I went into space, what would I think? What would I come back to Earth? Would I come back to Earth in floods of tears, thinking about some of my perspective has been wrong? I wonder what you think. Well, this morning I want us to elevate our thinking and climb up to see the world from Jesus' perspective and see the vision for our lives as individuals, but also as Unity Church, to allow Jesus to give us that overview effect, a bigger picture, a grander perspective. And to do this, we're just going to look at a few verses in Matthew 28. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to that. Otherwise, the words will appear on the screen. It's from verse 16. So this is at the end of the book of Matthew. And at this point, Jesus has been killed on the cross. He's come back to life. He's resurrected from the dead. And he's shown himself alive to Mary and then another Mary and tells the disciples to go to Galilee. And then he says this. He says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. There are just two main points I want to bring from these verses. Maybe for some of us, we've heard those verses before. Maybe it's the first time. The first thing is this, is we need to look back and remember. See, to look back and remember. You see, you know, it's easy to miss something in these verses. See, at the beginning it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee. Where did they go to? The mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Why did Jesus tell them to go to the mountain in Galilee? Let me suggest this to you. See, in Galilee, there is the Sea of Galilee, and that's a famous spot where Jesus spent many times. But you'll see to it, there's Mount Arbel. I've just missed the L out there. It doesn't quite appear on your screen there. You can go there today. It looks beautiful. And it's amazing because from this spot, you can see all around the Sea of Galilee. You're up high. You can have a good perspective. And the Sea of Galilee is actually a freshwater lake. And Jesus' ministry, as he went around doing incredible stuff, lasted about 3 years. Most of it occurred around the region, around this lake. Just at the bottom of this lake, there's a city called Magdala, which is probably where Mary Magdalene was from. So when she's met by Jesus and told to tell the disciples to meet him on the mountain in Galilee, it's probably the place next to her hometown. The next town alone, down along, is a place called Gennesaret. This is where Jesus would have been many, many times. It was the place he landed after crossing the sea, a place where he told the gospel, where he healed the sick, a place where people from all over came to see him. So here are the disciples on the mountain. They're looking across. I wonder what's coming to their remembrance of these places they've been involved in. They have been. A little further on was the place where Jesus called his first disciples, where Peter and Andrew were fishing, and Jesus said, follow me. Just a little bit further along from that was where Jesus gave probably his most famous sermon called the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. Incredible, life-changing teaching that is actually the foundation of most of Western civilization. Going around the lake, There was Capernaum. This is where Jesus lived, probably at the start of, his ministry. It's where Peter lived and where lots of miracles happened. Then we get to this other place, Bethsaida, Peter's original home. And it was where Jesus healed a blind man. Then going on into the fields on the other side was probably where Jesus fed the 5,000. It's where Jesus prayed afterwards. And of course, there was the lake where there's the story of Jesus walking on the water. Then on the other side of the lake, it is known as the, Decapolis, or the area which is the 10 cities. And it was a Greek and non-Jewish area. Essentially, it felt like a very different nation to Israel. And it was over there that Jesus fed the 4,000. He freed a man who was oppressed with a multitude of demons known as Legion. And the demons fled and went into the herd of pigs and they fell over the cliff. And it was also likely that's where Jesus used the picture of being like a city on a hill. Because it's literally a city which is on the top of a hill. They're just a few things that you would... Looking for this mountain, as you looked across, you'd look back and remember. Can you remember? Can you think of some of the conversation? Can you remember Jesus? We went there. Jesus walking on the water. Those demons fleeing. The disciples are stood on the mountain with Jesus. And they can see this whole region. And I've missed lots of things. Pretty amazing. What a sight. Can you imagine what it was to climb up high and get a perspective of all that has happened and watch Jesus can then say, I have all authority. Now, they didn't have rockets back then. They didn't need one. See, I think Jesus was giving them an overview effect. You know, look back, guys. Look at what has happened in the last 3 years together. Do you remember what God has done? And it's from that place that he gives them their mission. He gives them the vision of what is to come. From remembering what I have done, go out. And that's the vision that Jesus wants to give to us. To go out into all the nations and make disciples and make followers of Jesus. And of course, that's the vision of us here at Unity Church. We're called to love the Ramsden Estate, aren't we? To share your faith, bringing good news to those you meet, and also, it says, having a heart for the nations to see God's kingdom grow throughout the world. That's on your website, so I think that's your, part of your vision, isn't it? It's similar, isn't it? To see the vision, to love this area that God's called us to share our faith one-to-one with our friends, our neighbours, our work colleagues. But also to keep our eyes as well on the nations, a heart for the nations. Because we want to see God's kingdom breaking out throughout the world. And it was from that place of remembering that we can be empowered to catch a hold of this vision. See, the disciples probably had no idea what was next after Jesus came back from the dead. They're probably still recovering, reeling from it. What's happened? My Jesus has died. He's been buried. What hope is that for us? Then there's a resurrection from the dead. Maybe some of them were going back to their old life. We read that. Maybe to their old ways and perspective. They thought we'd just go fishing again. We'd go back to our old way of living. But Jesus wanted to raise their vision, to give them a fresh and new perspective. And I think Jesus wants to continue to do that in our lives. New perspective in remembering what he has done. This Jesus has conquered death. What a sea change in how we see the world. That Jesus has power over every authority, every dominion, even death itself. He has power over nature. He walked on the water. He calmed the storm. He heals the blind. He heals the deaf. He heals the sick. He has power over every spiritual darkness, every demonic power. He melts hearts of stone. He literally creates life from death. New perspective, new vision. And if you're part of this church here, do you know God has done amazing things, has he not? Maybe you've been here many, many years. Maybe just been a short time. God has done some great things. And as we look upon the sea of Orpington, the sea of the Ramsden Estate, it's so important to remember what he has done. Changed lives, new believers, baptism, a building that was built by the Anglicans to serve this community. Praise God. But then there was a point in history where it looked like this building would close. And praise God, there was a partnership with Regions Beyond. People with faith came here and said, God can do it. And Ray, look around. Look what God has done. Incredible things. Wonderful what God has done. A revitalization, a new perspective. People being transformed, renewed. Double glazed. New flooring. A community garden. A beautiful lounge. An amazing kitchen. Ministries that are impacting the community. The gym, the dance club, the job club, the community fridge. The youth work that happened yesterday. God has added leaders to this church. He's grown new ones, new gifts. People sharing their testimony even this morning. He has done, I'm not going to sing it, little miracles, one by one. Miracle upon miracle. It's so important to remember what God has done here in this place. Just physically, you can see it. Spiritually, you can see it. God has done amazing things. And it's also amazing what God has done in your life. It's so important to remember, as our sister said, those things that God has done. You know, in the Old Testament, people would make altars of uncut stones to remember places where God has moved in amazing ways. I wonder, do you know or remember what God has done? Because right now you might feel things are really tough, in a difficult place. But just look back to what God did last month, or last year, or 2 years ago, how God brought you through. God has already done great things, and he will do more. Count your blessings, church, Unity Church. Be thankful for how God has brought you this far, individually, but also as a church community. Linger on them. Remember what God has done. It will fill your heart. But as you do that, the second and most important thing is that you continue to look ahead. And to those disciples, these didn't say, look back into what you've done, but look ahead, what I am going to do. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. See, as Jesus is here, he says, look, we went to your neighborhood. We also went to the other side, to the nations, over the other side of the lake. See, it's amazing how Jesus takes them to a spot where they can see not just Israel, but the nations beyond it, to the one place where Jesus really went beyond the borders of Judaism. He says, look back and remember, but he says, look ahead. There are places for you to go as well. That's the beauty of what Jesus does. He says, look out and remember the past, but recognize where you are called to go. In the Old Testament, right around the beginning of the Bible, we see something similar happening to two of the most important prophets in it. In Genesis, Abraham, he gets called by God out of this pagan city called Ur, which is now modern day Iraq. He gets called to follow God and is promised to become a great nation. He trusts God and he goes all the way over to the land of Canaan. And in chapter 13, God tells him something amazing. He says this. He says, lift up your eyes. Turn to your neighbor and tell them to lift up your eyes. Tell your other neighbor, because they're upset you haven't told them. If you got one. Lift up your eyes.
Lift up your eyes.
Yeah. Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that you will see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. See, God gave him a new perspective. Look out north, look out east, look out west. See the future. Then later in the Bible, we meet Moses, who God powerfully used to bring the Israelites out of slavery into Egypt. These guys have gone through 40 years of wandering the wilderness. They're about to enter the beautiful land that God has promised them. And actually, even Moses himself won't enter in. But he asks God to see it before he dies. And God tells him this. He says, go up to the top of the mountain, Deuteronomy 3. Lift up your eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward. Look up with your eyes, for you shall not go over the Jordan. See, again, God is saying, I want to give you a new perspective. I want you to see the bigger picture. Abraham was told to do it. Moses was told to do it. And Jesus is now calling his disciples to do that. He's calling us as Unity Church here, look beyond what God will do. Be thankful for what he has done, but there is more for you. Where else can you bring impact? What part of this estate have you not yet reached into? What demographic have you not helped? God has multiplied the ministries in serving this community. Do you know there will be other ways to serve people? God will put vision and add people to this church. We'll have a new perspective and say, hey, we're not quite reaching those people yet. But do you know it's not just about the Ramsden estate? Who doesn't live on the Ramsden estate? I don't. God is calling your communities. Where are the next estates that need the gospel? The pattern of what God is doing here is beautiful and incredible. If we could replicate what God is doing here into many other estates which have, the church has moved out. Some of them still meet on the estate, but nobody comes. The people driving in their car and they drive out. You know, who might God be calling to you in the future? How might we replicate what God is doing here? You have a voice not just to this region, but to our nation. What can God do? And beyond that, what would God do in this nation? What would God do in the nations? The good news of Jesus going out into all the world. God is calling us out, and he calls us to go with him. He wants us to raise our gaze, to zoom out, to climb up the mountain, see what he's doing. All authority is given to Jesus. And you know, as he reminds his disciples and us of all that he's done, he says, dear disciples, dear Unity Church, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, he gives us that authority. You know, I'm so excited speaking to Liz and Neil last night to hear about your growth groups. You know, just really helping equip you to look at the Bible and be saying, who are you reaching? Who are you sharing the gospel with? Because that's what it is. It is your friends, but it's also your community. It's also to the ends of the earth. You know, Jesus is saying, remember how my mind saw the blind over there? See, I fed the 5,000. I made the lame walk. Remember all that I've did. I've been crucified. I've been raised from the dead. I've conquered sin and death and Satan. I am victorious. I have all authority, not just in Israel, but in the whole world. Not just in life, but in death. Not just on land, but on the very seas. Not just over bodies, but over spirits. Not just on earth, but in heaven. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples of all nations. And I am with you. That's the beauty. We don't do it in our own effort or energy. We do it because the Holy Spirit is with us. He comes upon us. He equips us. This is the vision and perspective Jesus wants us to have. It's game-changing. It's life-fulfilling. Forget about going to space. Grasp this. Everything flips. You know, as I've graphed this for my own life, you know, the world has radically got bigger and more connected and focused. You know, It'd be very easy for me to sit in Burma and say, praise God, thank you for what you're doing in Aston. But then I'm seeing the next place where people are not hearing the gospel, don't have the opportunity in their community. When we first planted into Walsall, a community very similar to the Ramsden State called the Delves. A little building surrounded by land. And now it's full of young people coming on a Sunday. Full of people during the week, 50 people coming to our community meals there. Hearing the gospel impacts. And then God then opens up another building. And then we've got another building. I was thinking, God, it's so much easier just to focus on one thing. But God calls us to go. Why don't we stand together as the band come up? You know, it's also amazing to know what God is doing here, but all around the world. It's amazing. Sometimes I wish I could just get you in a plane, you know, and fly you across the world in what I know God is doing. You know, in our family of regions beyond, the new tribes that are being reached the gospel. We are now planting churches in areas where there's never been a church before. We're planting into islands that have never heard the gospel before. The gospel is going out. God wants us to be thankful for what he's done. As we pray about leadership and the next season for you, I am in faith. God will provide. God will go ahead. He's done it thus far. He will do it again. But that's be those that don't settle. But that's be those that go. Let's just pray together, shall we? Father, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us have thankfulness in our hearts. All that you've done in our own lives, in the life of Unity. Lord, let us climb up the mountain. Let us see with a new perspective what you are going to do. Lord, for those of us who have just started a new term, maybe at school or college, maybe you just started in education, maybe you're building a family, whatever it is, ask God to lift your gaze, not just what's in front of you, but what God is calling you into, you know. God, help us to have greater vision, to see how big it is. Help us to be encouraged this morning. And Lord, that you would use us. And for those who are struggling today, maybe to understand all that God has done, Lord, I pray, remind them who you are. You're able to do much more than we ask or imagine.